numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Oh, Brett changed it up right there then. You hear that? Good Thursday morning to you. Not just any Thursday morning. Happy 4th of July, everybody, from a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in on this holiday. We are 248 years old. We're symmetrical. 1776, 2024. Symmetrical on the centuries. You get that? 24 to that side, 24 to that side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Sure. But is it a guy or a gal?
Oh, no, we're feminine today.
Feminine
2024. Okay, yeah, it's okay. Female numbers. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I have now announced my position on the spectrum to all of you right off the top of the show.
Some people are like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
The greatest nation there ever was. 248 years old. Thank you for joining us this morning. Wherever you're taking in the fireworks tonight, that should be fun. Let me just say this. Vegas temperatures over the next week, Kelly. Ready for this?
No. My air conditioning is not going to survive.
Starting today, 112. Tomorrow, 112. Weekend, 113. 116 on Sunday, down from what was previously predicted to be 118. They don't let the planes land at that point.
Yeah.
115 on Monday, 116 again on Tuesday, 115 again on Wednesday. And then it cools off by next Friday to a balmy 109.
Oh, my gosh.
So we'll enjoy that.
That's tough.
But we're...
Yeah, I mean, we hit 113 yesterday. I was driving around in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, I don't go outside anymore.
It's literally become that. Like, yeah. You can't, like, if you could see the inside of my place right now, there are couch cushions up against, like, my sliding glass door to, like, block sunlight. It's literally there's a cave-like effect going on in my place.
I go outside to come to work. I go outside to go back home. And then Friday, then I go to California just to drop 45 degrees.
Yeah, leave me your keys, because AC was struggling to make it last night.
Oh, mine's working pretty good.
Boy, this might be a long weekend.
We do have Crack today. Crack is in full effect. Hour number two, Zach Cohn will be here, so it's Zach and Crack in full effect. First, though, before we get into anything, hot dog eating contest. I suppose we should talk about the hot dog eating contest, which is happening, less than 45 minutes from now. Coney Island, Brooklyn. Nathan's Famous.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that. You're right. The women start early.
Brooklyn. Is this what they're all proud about in Brooklyn? They're like, Brooklyn. It's all about the hot dog eating contest.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Ladies side, Miki Sudo. Huge. Miki Sudo, probably. Pardon me. Miki Sudo. Huge favorite. -900 on Miki Sudo.
On Follow the Money yesterday. Check it out.
On Follow the Money. Oh, they had her own. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, Miki Sudo... for those who don't know, you want a little background on some of these folks? Miki Sudo, number 3 ranked eater in the world by Major League Eating. They're the ones that run this whole shebang.
Men and women?
Number 3 ranked, yes. She's number 1 ranked female.
I was going to say.
Number 3 ranked overall. How about that? She's a 9-time women's champ. She's going for her 10th in a row here. She's won every year since 2014. It's actually not in a row because in 2021, she was preggers with her son, so she didn't participate that year. Her personal best, 48.5 hot dogs and buns.
Okay.
So she's, you know, that's her personal
best. Was that recent? Do you have the year on that?
That I do not have the year on Miki Sudo. I can give you much more detail on the men's side here, which I'm about to.
Okay, good. I mean, that is the men's side is.
But look, the next best, though, is Mayo Ibihara, who's 5-1. So Miki Sudo is just a huge favorite on the women's
side. I feel like she's been a huge favorite for years now. I don't know that when I was typing this up this morning, I don't know if I remember actually someone that close, like a clear second that close to her.
Is that really a clear second? I guess it's a clear second because third place is 40-1.
Yeah.
Men's side. I'm actually going to recommend a couple bets on the men's side.
There we go.
How about that?
There we go, Gil.
So the favorite on the men's side, Jeffrey Esper, 49 years old, -120 favorite, very short favorite. I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but he's finished second at this event each of the past 3 years. We got him at -115 up at DraftKings, up to the minute. Second in this event each of the past 3 years. And, of course, Joey Chestnut is not here to block him, so that's why he's the favorite. His personal best is 51 hot dogs. Last year, though, 49. Keep that in mind. Trajectory here, I would imagine, matters. This is my vast hot dog eating contest knowledge. I think if you're going down, if you're going backwards, it's not a good thing. James Webb is 35 years old, 14 years younger. He's a 2-to-1 dog. Actually, he's now shortened to plus 165. This is the guy I would bet here. This is just his third time doing the hot dogs. His personal best is 47.5. Last year is when he did it, when he finished third. So he's 14 years younger. Esper's on the is coming backwards, coming back towards him. I think Webb, who like basically just showed up and is knocking out 47.5 of these, that's probably the play. I have one more play.
I like that. I like that. Makes sense. I'd rather bet on a guy like that with that's a little bit more wild cardish than, you know, someone that's been there year after year after year.
I believe he's Australian. He just a few weeks ago, just to give you an idea. So these guys don't just do hot dog eating contests.
Oh, it's everything. Yeah.
James
Webb.
They
got to make a paycheck.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, he won the Salvation Army National Donut Day by downing 70 glazed donuts in 10 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
By the way, I think our girl,
Miki
did better than that, by the way. So he was just showing up and doing 70 in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Nick Wary, age 35, is the third shot, plus 550. Now, he is engaged to Miki Sudo, which to me, I'm having trouble removing myself from thinking that when they got engaged, they had food chewed up just coming out of their mouths. He engaged. He asked her to get married. She said yes, and then they made out with food just sprawled all over their faces.
Also, like, what's the past like month or two been like in that household? Like, that's just got to be
just disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nick Wary. Sorry, can't get that image out of my mouth. Plus 550 here. They're both from Tampa. He's the number 4 ranked eater in the world by Major League Eating. So right behind his wife overall. It'll be his 7th appearance in the competition. He's finished 4th at the event the last 2 seasons. His personal best is 48 hot dogs and buns. Now, he's also, in addition to being engaged to Miki Sudo, he's also participated. He holds a couple world records. No, one world record.
These are always fun.
He has a world...
Whatever their specialty's at. Yeah. What do we got?
Okay, he's got the world record in eating hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, God. That's so gross.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most disgusting segment in the history of a numbers game.
Wait, okay. That is more disgusting than me drinking a large amount of eggnog. No?
Maybe.
Oh, I find that gross.
Well, you could take your time with the
eggnog. I could take my time, yeah. Like, you got to pop egg after egg.
How much time do you think it took him in his world record to eat 50 hard-boiled eggs?
3 minutes.
3 minutes and 4 seconds.
Wow.
50. Bro. Can I call you bro?
Yeah.
All right.
Always.
He's also... Now, this is where it gets ridiculous. This is Nick Wary. This is, again, Miki Sudo's husband-to-be. Fiance, who is the third short shot. He's not going to win this, by the way. I would go under on Nick Wary, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I would, because he, like, 2 years ago, he topped out at 40 dogs. The year before that, he was 44.5. I think his number is 44.5. This sounds like you should go under on him.
I don't know. Like, I think I'm way overthinking this now, though.
Yeah.
Like, how does this there has to be a mental effect when Joey Chestnut's not in the field anymore.
It's like when Dominic Thiem and Sasha Zverev played in the U.S. Open Final because it was the year where Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic, remember that was the year Djokovic hit the ball woman with a tennis ball. So they disqualified him? It was that year where these guys have got to be thinking, this is our chance.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not arguing your bet, but I'm like, I feel like all these guys that have been there before, I think we could see higher numbers because you're like, okay, good. Tiger Woods isn't here anymore. I actually have a chance to win.
Do you realize I've sneaky gave out 2 bets here?
It's hilarious. I was not expecting this.
James Webb to win this at plus money. He's the second shot. And an under on Nick Wary. But here's the thing. In addition to holding the world record for eating 50 hard-boiled eggs in 3 minutes and 4 seconds, which is disgusting.
Give me another one. I could go through these for like 30 minutes. They're so gross.
He is also the Cuban sandwich eating champion.
Ooh, that just sounds good.
Let me just ask you a question. Like, you can standardize hot dogs. You can, you know, hard-boiled eggs are hard-boiled eggs. When you order Cuban sandwiches, they come in all kinds of varieties.
They do.
So, like,
also, I'm a mayo guy instead of mustard on Cuban.
Yeah, what if I was like, I'd like to do a breakfast burrito with tater tots without avocado eating contest, because I think I could do well on that. Like, you could be really specific at this point. So he's got the Cuban sandwich eating record, having eaten 22 of them in 8 minutes.
Oh, man. Well, that one's tough to judge because what size are we working with here on the Cuban sandwich?
That's what I'm saying. I guess they have to standardize them somehow.
Yeah.
The problem is like you have to have mustard in a Cuban sandwich, either otherwise it's not mustard, right? And you have to properly, you know, you've got to standardize the dollop.
Yeah,
these are complicated issues we're tackling.
By the way, mustard, like this is like what one of those things about me that nowhere near mustard. I find mustard so disgusting.
All
like,
mustard.
In all forms.
All mustard.
Yeah, all mustards. Don't be the guy who ever. I get this guy all the time. Even honey mustard?
Even Dijon?
Like, yes, all mustards. It tastes like mustard. It's disgusting.
Even Grey Poupon? So there you go. Two bets. James Webb on the men's side, +165, and under on Nick Wary. Sorry.
I believe Darian Thomas is the guy. There's a lot of pandemic, COVID memories we have from gambling, you know, and it was I believe it was Darian Thomas. Remember they did one of these like major league eating events that was all like everybody was at home and they had to like go up against each other.
I blocked that out.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
We broke it down hard on Follow the Money while we were in the middle of the pandemic.
I'm sure you guys
did. And all I remember is Mitch and I making a bet on the under the amount of time that Darian Thomas would consume baked beans. It was a gallon of baked beans.
Oh.
But the thought was, Gil, Mitch and I are both like, wait, what? Like it's baked beans. Wouldn't you just kind of like spoon and drink those?
Yeah, what does he do?
And it was like a couple minutes or something that they were giving. He went way under. It was like one of the greatest bets I've ever made. Because that's what he did. Just picked up the tub and started drinking it.
I think it's appropriate to make the comment right now. You should not follow him home afterwards.
Yes.
Do you remember when JVT tried to eat the hot dogs?
Oh, yeah, that's banned. Bill Ady famously saying he would rather have an alligator in the studio.
No, but there was one outside of the studio where he was legitimately trying to do it the first year of VEASAN, and you could see it in his eyes when he crashed. We're coming back. Baseball on the other side.
A numbers game on VEASAN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by Bar Canada at the D and by DraftKings. With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VEASAN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VEASAN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VEASAN Pro at an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VEASAN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, data, and our all-new special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Do not miss out. It's our all-new NFL betting guide. Incredible offer. VEASAN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG.
ANG. Someone bring me a hot dog.
13 months of VEASAN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VEASAN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidelon. Tennis plays that have not begun today. Ready for this?
What you got, Brosif?
On the men's side, I will give you again, I will give you the prices that we gave out at VEASAN.com, that I gave out at VEASAN.com/picks last night. Every host, every guest, every sport, all at VEASAN.com/picks. Everybody's bets can be found there. That is for subscribers. And last night, I put out my four. We're trying to split here in the morning. Still to come on the men's side, and I'll get the exact prices right now. On the men's side, I am on Lucas Pouille is the French. Let me spell that for you. Lucas, P-O-U-I-L-L-E. Lucas Pouille is, I believe, how you pronounce that in French. Of course. You know.
Or Pouille?
No, it's Pouille.
Pouille in American English.
Pouille. I got him at +164 last night against Tanasi Kokkinakis, who, of course, is Australian with a Greek name. Pouille, is he still scheduled? Yes. He's at +152, I'm seeing.
Okay, 165 at DraftKings.
You could still play him. Oh, +165, great. Shop around. So you could still get him almost at the price that I got him. Even better, by a penny. So Pouille is the first play. I think that's a way mispriced match. I think he can take down Kokkinakis. And then this is a way long shot on the ladies' side. I'm taking a flyer on Elena Avanesyan. I don't know if that Avanesyan.
Avanesyan.
against Ludmila Samsonova. Samsonova is how you actually pronounce that. But we are fading Samsonova. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So
it's 310 on the lean over at DraftKings.
Okay, and I got her at a little less than that, plus 280. So, yeah. So Puya and Avanesyan, those are your plays. Two big dogs coming up at Wimbledon, which is just awesome to have on during the 4th of July.
Yes, it is.
All day long, baseball all day long as well. Speaking of baseball, by the way, before we get to baseball, Sweet Lou Finocchiaro has chimed in. He says, Bertoletti coming out of retirement, plus 750 at DK in the hot dog eating contest. He goes, that's my lean. Those Italians can chow.
See, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's a guy who's got, he got tired of getting beaten up by Joey Chestnut for years, and he sees his window back
that's
open,
right.
So he's coming out of retirement.
That's
I think that
call.
Makes sense, Lou.
Bertoletti. Plus 750 is the call from Lou Finocchiaro, who also says, tell Kelly I put mustard on anything.
Gross.
A little mustard war you guys are having.
Yep. Mustard's gross.
Mustard's gross, you said? Yeah.
Yep.
So? By the way, just cleaning up. So the JVT thing, this was outside of the South Point studio, like the first year of VSiN. JVT was, I think it was hot dogs, where he was trying to eat as many hot dogs as he could in a certain amount of time. And literally, like, you could see it in his eyes when he got to... He could correct me on this, but it was still single digits.
I thought it was like five or something.
Maybe it was more than that, but it was still single digits. And you could see it. You're like, that he's done. You? How much
wait,
did
so,
you do?
Wait, so what was the story? Wasn't it him and Greg that were doing one,
that,
though?
I think that
in
was
studio?
An in-studio thing where then it
that's
got
what
banned.
That's what built in like that, yeah.
Can't do that stuff on camera.
Can't have a reversal in studio.
No, can't do that.
A reversal. Is that what they call it, right?
A reversal.
I love that.
We've had a reversal.
How many could I eat in 10 minutes?
How many?
In 10 minutes?
You, Kelly Bidlin.
I could down three in 10 minutes.
Oh, dude. Come on, of course you could down three.
I don't like this, but I'm not doing
if
like...
If I set it at seven and a half, could you go over that?
I'm not dunking buns in water and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I'm
seven
gonna eat a
and a half, over or under?
There's no way I could eat eight hot dogs in 10 minutes.
I'd go under on that.
I could get to eight. If you gave me... If I was starving and I had an hour, I think I could do eight.
Okay.
Wow. Not 10 minutes, though.
No, it's gross.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Borchardt and I did a Q2 baseball pod yesterday, Beating the Book, MLB Derivatives. We do it every quarter after 40 games, after 80 games, after 120. And we have done this for over a decade. So if you do the math, I think we've done about 40 of these in our lifetime.
Wow.
And we love it. It's just we nerd out on baseball stats. We do, you know, the standard one that we'll show just on the screen. Obviously, we do best ROI teams in Major League Baseball. These are bizarro exercise. If you bet each team every single game, whether they're a favorite or a dog, you know, you bet on $100 if they're a dog. You bet $100 if they're a favorite. That's the thing about the favorite. Some people calculate it differently. Bet $100 or bet to win $100. That's why you have some variance or some difference with some charts on this. But the Guardians, the most profitable team by a good margin. If you know, in this bizarro exercise. And the point of the whole podcast is not to just, hey, look at all these stats. It's to try to determine what is predictive, what is sustainable, what is unsustainable. And probably the single biggest thing it's not that we uncovered it, but we sort of realized going through these. Because we go through, I recommend everybody who's a baseball hard to listen to the podcast, because we go through umpire stats, who are the most reliable over and under umpires in Major League Baseball when they're behind home plate calling balls and strikes. And it's not just a this year thing. Mark has historical data. So we don't just rely on the 80-game sample size. We see if they match with his historical data. So we uncovered one very reliable over umpire, one very reliable under umpire, which they're doing their thing this year, basically.
That's great. Because, if you could try, if you could see some guys been doing that for, you know, over the course of 4 years, then, it's something you could start to pay attention to.
Yeah, the over umpire probably has a strike zone the size of a thimble, and the under umpire has vast
right,
strike
right,
zone.
Yeah.
So there's that. We also do first innings, which you won't find anywhere else. Those are proprietary. We talk about the pitchers that are the best and the worst in first innings, because people like to bet first innings, mm-hmm. The Yerfies and the Nerfies, they call it now. Mm-hmm. The kids, so cute. They're adorable with their names. And then biggest thing we found, though, because we do first fives, right? And by the way, VSiN.com, can I just shout out VSiN.com? Whenever we do the VSiN.com promo, we're talking about betting splits and betting by state and all these articles. It has great, robust baseball stats now, right? So there's a bit of an umpire tracker there as well, not historically, but this year. We do, and on VSiN.com, there's best first five and worst first five teams. Same thing for the full game, but also, you know, what's their record, win, loss, and draw first five. And so this year, you will see, as we put it up at VSiN.com here, Phillies are number one. Makes sense by a mile because they have, think about their top three in their starting rotation, Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez. So it makes sense why they are literally, if you bet the Phillies every single game this year, first five, whether favorite or dog, you'd be up 20 units just doing that. 20-plus yields.
Yep.
The next closest is the Guardians, who are just over 9 units up. But the outlier there, as you can see, is in the number four position because it's Phillies, Guardians, Orioles. The Yankees are in fifth, and looky here. Look who's in fourth.
That's crazy.
The Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox are, so just think about this.
I'm actually impressed with just their overall first five record.
Well, that's the point.
Right.
So this is the point of why we do this thing. So,
and then obviously they're a dog a lot.
Well, and they're a dog a lot. So this is the point. In real life, right, and obvious in the real life Major League Baseball standings, even though the White Sox, by the way, the White Sox are the Guardians' kryptonite. They beat them again last night, crushed them. It's incredible how the White Sox have the Guardians' number. But the White Sox in real life, even with that win last night, 25-63. I mean, they have a -157 run differential, and that's after winning by 6 last night. They're horrible at baseball.
That's incredible.
But first five, they are 35-41-11. And as Kelly said, they're always a dog, right? Maybe every time. So 35-41-11, you'd be up 6.5 units betting them first five. Now, here's the even bigger thing we talked about.
God, that bullpen just has to be awful.
There are the bull. That's the
awful.
That's the takeaway, right? The bullpen sucks, and like, everybody knows
they suck. You're a near 500 team in the first five innings.
But here's the point, Kelly. There are some sports books that offer double results, like soccer, right? Who's going to win at halftime? Who's going to win full game? Baseball has the equivalent at some sports books. Who's going to win? Who's going to be leading after first five? Who's going to be leading after the game? The White Sox have hit the double result of leading after five and losing 16 different times this year.
That's awesome.
The average price on those 16 is like 7-1.
Yeah, sure.
So if you just hit all of those, right, if you bet that blindly, you'd be up, the 16 that you hit would be up over 100 units, and then you'd lose all the others. You wouldn't even care because you'd be so far.
Yeah.
Is that sustainable? It kind of sounds like it is. That was a big takeaway from that. Zach Cohen on the other side. Tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, VSiN.com. Not only best bets at VSiN.com/picks, but betting splits, odds by state, betting tools, and as we mentioned earlier, not only betting guides, but a really robust baseball stats. First five stats, umpire stats, VSiN.com. Don't sleep on the deep dive baseball. Check it out. We call it brand new? Not about, but brand new. We call it new. Yeah? Is that okay? New?
Ish. Yeah.
Ish. Not superstitious. Not superstitious. Just stitious.
A little stitious.
Oh, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Sam Ginsburg. Yes, some people are lucky. I'm a financial advisor. A client was selling stocks on a Friday to buy a boat. He got a call and didn't call me back until after 4 p.m. Too late to trade. Company got bought over the weekend and stock was 40% higher on Monday.
Unbelievable. That's exactly right.
Invictus. I'm a big ketchup-only guy on hot dogs, but also fine with cheese and bacon. I don't do mayo, but I've seen carts outside the bars in Nashville and San Diego that put a little on the bun before toasting it. The lettuce is uncouth.
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 How often do you see bacon as a topping offered for your hot dog?
Never.
Never.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I'm sure it's great. Bacon's, you know, you could put that on anything and it'd be good.
Uncouth. Lacking good manners, Skelly. Steve the Proxy. Miki Sudo proving she's one of the best athletes ever by bouncing back after pregnancy and hitting a personal hot dog record. Even the great Serena Williams couldn't come back from motherhood. 10 mustard belts, Gil, 2 times as many titles as Iga. That's great. Love
you got me thinking about this a little bit, okay? I'm not going to take the pro athlete side of this, but are you telling me the athletic drop-off from, like, football linebacker to golfer is not as big as the drop-off from golfer to hot dog eater.
All right, well, you've moved the goalposts on this by putting golfers in this.
Well, okay, so do you consider golfers athletes? I guess that's the question. That's really
are we really going to have this conversation? Is that what we have? Welcome to Sports Talk Radio.
You're in my head now with this athlete thing.
Do you consider a pitcher in, if you want to get, is a pitcher in baseball?
Yeah, that's a good one too.
A punter.
An athlete? Punter. Or are they, or do they have a great skill?
I think it's all, I would lean more towards it's all great skill.
This is the definition of athlete, Kelly. A person who is proficient in sports and other forms of physical exercise.
Well, take out that last part, and then they're all athletes.
So then pitchers are athletes.
They're all proficient.
Golfers, I guess, are athletes, too.
I think so.
And I don't know if eaters are.
Okay.
But some people say, yeah, it's physical. That's the end of that conversation. I don't think it's to your point.
I don't care enough to argue about it.
Yeah.
We started JVT on it a couple weeks ago. He was ready to go off.
Obviously, the tweet was being sarcastic, but it's like, are you telling me that like you would hold Miki Sudo in the same regard you would hold Willie Mays in? Like, I mean, what do
no.
you pick any NBA player? Yeah, you have a story, sir.
Oh, got a couple stories.
Yeah.
First of all, I know this has happened to a lot of people. I don't know if it's happened to either one of you guys. Do you ever go away with another couple? You ever go away with, like, friends that you've had for a lifetime and you go away and now you come back hating them?
I was going to say, usually it's a nightmare.
No, yeah. It's like, you know, they like you have to be on their schedule for things. You have to wait.
It's terrible.
It's very, very. It's so hard to do.
Not in the last 20, 25
yeah.
years.
No, that's no. So I just say it because one buddy of mine was here with his wife and his kid, and he got two separate rooms there. And then they came with their neighbors who they've had lived next door to for 8 years, he said. It was a disaster. They learned more about each other, and then they just they went back like not even talking to each other. It was that bad. And I could see it happening though. You know, you have to be someone wants to go to a show, one wants to go to the dam, one wants to go to whatever tourist things you want to go to, and the other one doesn't want to go. You know, it's like remember Vegas Vacation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's have our own day.
Right.
And
yes,
then they
yeah.
say, "Well, we'll all do our own thing. I'll see you guys later."
Well, yeah. when you're on vacation,
right.
You shouldn't have to make concessions to other people of what you're going to do. It's your vacation.
I knew you could properly
I'm very
word
passionate
it.
About
yes.
this,
yeah.
actually. I've had very upsetting vacations with this stuff.
Yeah.
The time in my life when I was subjected to these, and I do mean subjected to these, and again, now get back to the fact that we all share, the three of us and everybody listening, we share a certain DNA that most people don't share, right? So the whole time you're subjected to these vacations. By the way, they're super nice people on their own, right?
Yes.
If you went over to their house for a meal or 3 hours or went to a movie with them, fine. Then you go home. But if you're on in a captive vacation somewhere.
Right, yes.
Right? Captive.
That's
like
yes.
let's just say
that's the key.
Let's just say any like Wimbledon is on today, right?
Sure.
I have bets.
Sure.
Hot dog eating, baseball, right?
Perfect.
Everything.
Perfect.
The entire time while they're like, "Oh, let's go here and let's go here."
Right.
I'm like, I got to check a score.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's just who I am.
Yeah.
And so I hated them.
Yeah.
Hated them.
Yeah,
it's something I was willing to do when I was younger because I had the capacity to compromise. I no longer in my older age have the capacity to compromise.
I think once you've done it a couple times,
you
just get burnt out, exhausted from it. You'll never do it.
For those of you who couldn't see us, we're going to put up the photo I had of my friend was here for a little over 5 weeks. He stayed at like 9 different hotels. You could see there. On the counter, all the stuff that he had, bottles of water, bottles of soda, Perrier. He's like, you got to take all this. I was like, well, I can, yeah, I'll take it. I'll give it to someone. Because I like giving away the shampoos and stuff to the homeless. So there's always a place in town. I can't believe how much stuff he acquired. He had to, like, rob the maid carts. I mean, he had so much stuff. So now it made me think of something. This guy takes everything when he goes away. Everything. He takes everything. So I remember, I forgot. I've known him for 30 years, almost 30 years. I remember Atlantic City when we were younger. If he loses, he gets so mad. He will actually, like, he out of his backpack, he pulled out a chisel. I was like, what are you? He takes the art off the wall when you can't. Like, he'll take something off the wall.
What?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, this guy's nuts. He like he goes as long as the, if it doesn't leave a mark, it's going. The maids never see it. I said, how are you going to get this piece of art out of here?
It was like nailed to the wall, right? Hence the chisel.
I'm not joking. I'm not saying it to be funny. He knows who he is.
That's a skill.
And I will say this. It's one of those things that's so out of bounds, right, to carry a large piece of art out that no one's good. Like, no one would question me. He's like, how is this guy? This guy must have a reason. He must be a worker that we've employed to move art.
That is one of those, if you just walk with a confident look on your face, nobody's stopping.
Nobody's stopping you. If you act as if in anything in life, you could just get away. You know what I mean?
It's wild.
Just like imagine Kelly. Like, I didn't know Kelly had a Van Gogh.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Just walking out of there.
Sorry. Yeah. Doing my job.
You know, but I remember I said, well, listen, if you can do this cleanly, our old hangout, the Hard Rock, has a great picture of, I'm a big Doors fan, the Doors hanging out at the Hard Rock in L.A. It's on the wall there. If you could get that off for me.
I just want a disclaimer. We don't condone this behavior.
No, we don't. No, it's just, but I'm not joking, though. He has taken more than one time, has taken artwork off walls. He goes for me. He gets mad. He just takes everything.
I need to dive into this.
The entitlement
So this is, we're talking, most of these paintings and stuff are like nailed to the wall or something, right? So he's taking some tool wedging it off the nails.
Yeah, yeah, he knows
but,
what
but
he's
not
doing.
Enough to leave a mark.
The whole thing is leaving the mark because I know one time he got caught. He got caught.
You think?
Yeah.
There's like marks on the wall from him digging in a tool.
I think, how many times the maids look up and look at the wall and say, you know, like, so, yeah, he just likes something.
But the Hard Rock, where you and I first met, where we used to hang out, the Hard Rock was filled with rock and roll memorabilia.
In the rooms, not just the hallways.
That's right.
Like Planet Hollywood, too. That's always something memorabilia-wise in there.
And by memorabilia, you were equally liable to have a great piece of art on the wall or, like, find a syringe in between the couches. It was 50-50. There was that, but remember the Hard Rock got to the point where it was like in its later days, they couldn't figure out what their brand was anymore. So during the week it was a hard, you know, classic rock place, but on the weekends it just went straight hip hop at the end.
Right.
So it was like this really weird really weird thing happening.
Now, speaking of which, Gil, I have to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Being in where you grew up.
Yes.
You used to drive to Atlantic City sometimes, right?
Once in a blue moon, yeah.
Because that reminds me also going home broke in the 80s.
Oh, dude.
The tolls.
The worst.
Because there was no cameras back then. You just hit the toll like you paid it, and it rings, and you wave, and you honk. Oh, no, you honk. You have to just honk the horn if the change hit the ground or something.
I was at the age where me and my buddies, we weren't smart enough to still have money at the end of the trip. And so we would drive.
The gas. There'd be two, you know, a car is running out of gas here.
Two people in the back just passed out. Just give me a bacon, egg, and cheese. Like, we'd stop at the McDonald's. I remember my buddy Juan was like, bacon, egg, and cheese.
Right.
And we're like, I'll see if we have enough money. And the tolls, we would always do
tolls.
That.
Never pay. That's what I mean.
You'd act like you'd throw it, and you just keep driving.
You act like it. There was no gate or anything like that. But certain ones, I mean, the GW and the Holland Tunnel. But, just something that I remember.
Those were all such depressing trips to AC.
On the way home. But on the way there, you listen to Sinatra, Tony Bennett, all the good life and everything. Everything's great.
If you strayed 20 steps in the wrong direction outside of the place, too, it was an adventure.
Oh, we'll talk about that when we get back.
Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth reviews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts. That includes MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Happy 4th of July to everybody once again. 248 years old, this nation. What a great run. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's Bill Krakenberger. Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. @BillKrakman with a K on Twitter. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Paul Medina. Gil, you're a Bay Area guy. Haven't you had a Mexican hot dog after Sharks games wrapped in bacon? Here's the thing. I probably was in San Jose, Paul, less than I was in the Middle East in my time in the Bay Area. That's how little. That's how few times I would actually venture to San Jose from the city. The city is what we call San Francisco.
I bet. I feel like that's one of those, if you grew up and lived around there, yes, you've probably been everywhere around that area, but yeah.
I just never got down to San Jose.
If I moved to San Francisco, I can't imagine it.
San Jose.
San Jose.
Tom Collins, another great appearance by the crack man. Trust the glove.
My man.
Trust the glove. Loss of capacity to compromise can also be attributed to years of experience dealing with humans. I laughed out loud at that line. LOL. Yeah, man, that's a good point, too. Just living. Chris Davis, I do workers' comp. One guy's job history included casino maintenance. Quote, what did that entail, he said? Mostly fixing stuff angry people who lost would break.
Oh, see? There you go.
Wow.
Well, yeah, when we were at the South Point, I mean, I'm sure it's still the case, but in the basement there, it would just be lined with tables and chairs upon hundreds and hundreds just lined up down there, whether they were broken or about to be replacing others or whatever. Like, it was like massive staging areas.
That'll happen more at a locals casino than it will a tourist one on the strip, because that's more of a grind joint. Locals, they get upset, they're losing their checks, where people come in town and they don't really act like that all the time when
because the Visa office was in the basement. So Kelly's right about that. But now keep in mind, the South Point also a place that no one would blink that, like, they'd have an archery convention and people would be walking
it's
through
unbelievable.
There with full bows and arrows.
They just had it.
Like, they could do all kinds of damage to other humans and no one blinks.
Not even that, Gil. Like, when you're talking, like, 13-year-olds, like, what's the worst age that you'd want someone carrying a weapon
it's
recklessly through an arrow?
Yeah, and it occurs to me when I say bow and arrow, the image in most people's minds is like, oh, when I went to camp, I had a bow and arrow.
Professional archery.
Massive things.
Forget it. Yeah. I've just seen that. It's funny you guys mentioned that. One other tweet there, Buddhist man.
We love Buddhists.
There's no better hot dog on earth than a New York City dirty water soubrette with the extra onions and the orange sauce.
Oh.
Do you know what the orange sauce is?
I don't know.
He's absolutely right. I forgot about that orangey sauce. I think soubrette makes it now. It's in the stores, but you're right about that. I don't really trust a lot of those dirty water dog places, and even if they're clean water. But it's amazing all the ones on YouTube. There's reviews of the hot dog carts in New York City. I'm sure you'll find one, but he's right about that. Guys, I have a great question. Not that it's off subject. It's actually a sports question, because we can go anywhere here. This is going to be a very sensitive subject again, and I don't know the answer, and I should. What are the rules with these sports books that are new? Because I had a lot of sports books reach out to me, these head-to-head peer-to-peer sports books this past week. A couple of them are opened in most of the states legally. And what's the rules with, do they have to put up a bond with like $2 million in case they don't pay, they're not solvent? Like, what's the rules for even a sports book here? Let's say they had this standalone sports book in Las Vegas. Okay, there is one. There's one at the Hard Rock, which is a Virgin now. I can't think. Betfred. So now they're a big corporation, I know. But what's the rule? Let's say they're not a big corporation and Nevada legalizes them. What's the rule for if they close the doors like Gary Austin did here in town? Gary Austin, you guys can Google this. Gary Austin had a sports book in town, and he literally closed up shop and escaped with the money under the cover of darkness.
So you're asking
The customers. Who looks after the customers? How do they get their money? I have a ticket that I won $100. Where do I go now? The doors are closed.
You mean like when I went to the Mirage 2 weeks ago and didn't cash a ticket there walked away with it?
I mean when the place goes out of business and if something happens. Yeah, I know it's a sensitive subject.
Well,
what about these new companies that are coming to the States and they don't have the money? They did a full tilt and they weren't bailed out
I was just going to say, offshore, this happened to lots of folks, right? With both offshore sports books and offshore poker sites.
Oh, yeah.
But specifically, like, we know the names of the offshore folks. Surely World Sports Exchange is going to pay everybody
World
off.
World Sports Exchange, right? Aces, right? Gold. There's almost so many companies that went under.
But what you're asking is, would a regulated shop be able to do the same thing? I'm guessing not.
Is there money put up?
But I'm just guessing.
We got to get to someone in gaming.
I mean, I bet you, I have no idea. But it's probably one of those that probably ends up ugly in court. And
listen,
you probably still, just
Gary
like offshore,
Austin.
You probably
Gary
don't
Austin
hold the
left.
Yeah.
went to Costa Rica, was part of a big book called Trade Winds there, came back to the States recently, and I guess he was back in the States in Florida, and they took like $10 million off him in Florida. They busted him. So, yeah, but Gary Austin had a sports book here in town around the Strip, and I just wondered, like, what happens?
There's regulated and unregulated, and then there's public company and non-public company.
Yes.
That would have something to do with it, too, I would imagine.
Yes.
As well.
Another subject.
Yes.
It involves Gil.
Uh-oh.
So Gil put up a tweet last week. I retweeted it.
Hello.
Gil had already 50,000 views on it when it came to me, and wound up now getting about 80,000 views. It was about the Caesars, what happened there.
The NBA draft.
NBA draft.
Yep.
I put up a tweet the next day with Caesars charging minus $1.20 on both sides on NFL look-aheads, which, unbelievably, 95%. I can't believe it's not 100%. 95% were, oh, my God, this is terrible. How does Caesars do this? It was always $1.10. But there was a percentage there that came after me.
Really?
And said, well, you're lucky they even offer that. I mean, that's the reason why. It's a future. And, you know, no one offers that. They don't know. There's so many people do not know the space.
Yeah.
I had to say to them, listen, Westgate, FanDuel, DraftKings, they all have minus $1.10 on these. What are you talking about? There's literally eight more. And it shocked me, the amount of people. And then guys challenge me, you know, when these kids challenge you. Well, you're betting ahead of time like that? I'd love to challenge you to a bet. Like, they don't even realize that. Listen, if I'm betting ahead of time, you can guarantee by kickoff, 90% I'm going to have the best of the line. You know what I mean? So, but there are people like, you can't bet. Now there's injuries and stuff. How do you know? Well, that could happen. It could happen against me, absolutely.
Yeah.
But however, I'm going to have an edge on most of those tickets. But it just shocked me, the amount of people that actually, you know, think that.
But then again, they're under anonymity. But this is part of the whole gig, right? The reason that, you know, part of the gig is you're going to have a, you know, there's many parts of this, but one of them is you're going to have a whole new generation coming up that is going to be, and I mean this in the most literal way, or it's going to be ignorant to the ways that it's done properly mathematically.
Yeah.
And they're going to be, they're abetting the crime unknowingly.
Yes.
Right?
That's the words.
They're abetting the crime unknowingly, and that's built into the whole racket, if you will.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, And by the way, I still get back to that thing, for those who missed it, the NBA draft, where they changed the number from 50-1 to 25-1 on me at Caesars without taking a bet.
Right at the counter.
Right at the counter, right in my face. I get it. It happens on apps. But they do it now in the face unabashedly. Yeah. Then they tell you all kinds of – they scramble. Not, it was only just Caesars, but MGM and Caesars. They scramble for all kinds of rationale as to why what happened. In MGM's case, it was just a limiting on the app. None of it holds water in the end. And they can get away with it because the way that the regulatory body is, at least now, and this is part of Bet Bash that I'm excited about. Spanky was kind enough to ask me to moderate a panel about limiting bettors at Bet Bash. Billy Walters is going to be on the panel, so I'm super pumped. But there's going to be actual, we hope, regulators on that panel as well, because, like, there's got to be some way to even this playing field somewhat. In other words, like, you cannot be predatory on certain things. Like, there has to be some tacit agreement that at least the bettor can count on X, Y, or Z.
Right, right. No, yeah. It's true.
So we'll see. I appreciate that Spanky would ask me to do that, so
yeah,
I look forward to it on Bet Bash.
Yeah. Last thing I'll get to.
Yes.
Atlantic City, still a mess. I said this on my podcast. I'll challenge anyone to pull into Atlantic City, come off the expressway, make a left right down on Atlantic Avenue, go down to the end, turn around, come back on Pacific Avenue. Look what's going on. Look what's going on. Right now at 11:54 a.m., oh, my God. Like, there's guys that charge money at, like, the Popeyes to open a door for you just to walk in. It's really bad. But I talked about this because my buddy was saying how bad Atlantic City has became. And I said, listen, I talk about this on your show when I come on. And he's like, no, it's so bad. He said, yesterday I was in Atlantic City, and there was a police car going down Pacific Avenue, lights flashing, sirens. Not one car would move out of his way. The city has become numb to it. They don't care. It's like Kensington. It's like people are like zombies. It's just bad. Anyway, all right, guys. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there's no artful way to segue to this, but happy 4th of July, everybody. From all of us at the Numbers Game, we've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.